You might hear the church next door. They're actually in their parking lot doing outside worship services. So if you do, I apologize for that. Everyone doing well this morning?
Yeah.
Yes, doing well. Good morning, everyone.
All right, can we see your face and see your
Sure.
smiley faces? There is a difference. You know, Pastor James and I are talking about that. There is a very big difference when you have the ability to see someone. You should be feeling something that while you are not able to see brothers and sisters face to face, when you're not able to hear people singing next to you and, you know, hear the worship going up to God together, you should be sensing something. If you're a sensor, if you're a feeler, even if you're not a feeler, you may sense that something's missing. And we are asking the Lord if that there is a spiritual reality that is missing, right? We're asking the Lord is by not being together physically, reducing something that God truly desires for us to be together. That's why I ask, even if you could just turn on your video so we can see you. And it's just good to put a face to the name and be with one another. So turn on your cameras if you would, and let people say hi to you and give a little wave. In the spirit of gathering together, I'm going to ask that Daniel break us up into just some groups right now, maybe a group of max three or four, up to Daniel, and give you guys about 5 to 7 minutes. Whatever you choose, Daniel, if you want to give them a little more time, I think that's okay. Just give people some time to share one praise, one thanksgiving, share an area that we may need prayer for. And even if you have time in your group to have a person volunteer and just pray for that person who brought up their prayer request. Okay, so let's go ahead and split up right now and spend some time together with brothers and sisters. Okay. All right, good. Glad that everybody can come in together. Again, if you can just open your cameras if you're comfortable and let us say hi to you this morning. It's good to see everyone. For me, I enjoy seeing you guys, and it's a blessing. Again, this is something that we are working through. Is there a
I go turn
biblical,
on
and you could
desk.
think about it as well, is there a spiritual reality of gathering in person that we are missing in our life right now? Is there something that God designed for us to have together that is missing, even though we know and we believe that the Lord is working now, you know, in our midst, even as we gather live stream and through Zoom, just something to think about and pray through. You know, Pastor James and I are working through the very same thing. And so you could pray for the Lord's revelation for us on that.
So, are you thinking of opening church? Is that?
Yeah, we're always constantly working through that. We are obviously being careful and safe. Our congregation, I think, is very precious because there's so many elderlies in our midst that we definitely, you know, that's an obvious no-brainer that we are going to continue with live streaming and to have a commitment. Our commitment is to actually make that a more rich experience and continue to improve on that. But at the same time, Janet, to ask your question, I think we're, you know, our deacons and the elders are always praying through the concept of preparing for reopening, how we do that, when we do that. But what's always more important for Pastor James and I is the why. What's the reason why behind that? And does God give us anything, a pattern? Do we see even something implicitly in Scripture, even though it may be there are things that are not explicit in Scripture, but you see it all over Scripture, like the picture of the Trinity, right? The Scripture doesn't actually use the word Trinity, but you see it implicitly all throughout Scripture. Is there something that may not be explicit in Scripture that says you have to meet one day a week together? Obviously not. New Testament also doesn't specifically adhere to the Sabbath as New Covenant believers. But is there something implicit about people gathering together and offering worship to God, giving to God together, that when we don't have that, it is reducing the blessing that God, you know, pours out on his people through that process, right? We don't want to miss on any of that. So we got to think hard and pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's revelation on that, right? So does that help answer your question a little bit, Janet? The quick answer is yes, we are thinking about that. We would do it slow, safe, careful, and anyone who's not comfortable, anyone who's high risk, we encourage you to stay home and our live stream is going to be good. All right.
But I want to make a testament.
Yeah, sure.
Remember a few months ago during prayer night, Thursday night, I didn't show my face. I had a blank because I was having rash all over my face and neck. And you guys all prayed for me. And the next morning, it started to dry up. Now my face is all clear.
Beautiful face. Amen.
So the Holy Spirit works through the screen. It was remotely too.
Yes, there is no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. We're hearing so many testimonies and so many stories. I wish you were in my position that you can hear from different people where their small groups, their fellowship, their gathering, their spiritual life, people are just taking off with the Lord, and it is powerful. It is great. Our question is there more? Do we want more? And is there something that we may be missing? Right. But we will be committed to, you know, Zooming and live streaming at the same time, right? I'm probably sharing too much. Probably I should keep a Pastor James lid on this. I'm just a little bit too like open with you guys. But yeah, join us in prayer for that, okay? Any other prayer requests for us to pray for in general? Anyone want to bring up a prayer request or a praise? I'm like sliding into going overtime right now, so I want to be careful about that. Can you guys hear the music from the church next door? It's like, it's blasting from my windows.
I think one like prayer request and prayer is for Leo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And how can we pray for Leo, Abby?
We could pray that he'll have like a smooth recovery, and of praise that to thank God that his surgery was good.
Yeah, good, excellent. Yeah, and we'll pray for his mom, his sister, their salvation. Right. Okay. Anyone else have any personal prayer requests this morning that we can just bring before the Lord? Something as small, it doesn't have to be a open heart surgery. It could be a skin rash or anything in life right now.
Pastor Alex, my brother-in-law, James Hugh, has been undergoing cancer treatment, chemo, and they thought that it was going to be all completely gone and in remission, but apparently it's not. So he may be facing additional treatment. I don't know if more chemo or radiation or not. We need to pray for him, pray for the doctors. He's been being treated at Cedar Sinai in LA. So I don't know quite the status of it, but you pray for him, please.
Great. Will do, Scott. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm very thankful that I get to see Milton and Josh. developing into young men, man. They look like young men. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Handsome young man. Oh, you made Josh turn off his camera. He's now shy of being such a handsome young man. Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning I wanted to just come before you and slow down a bit. We were rushing about with breakfast, and I was watching the clock, felt like wasn't able to log on as early and set my heart in the right direction, and I want to do that now. And I don't know if anyone else, Lord, we just need this prayer to ask you to fill us with your Spirit. We desire to be filled by the Spirit. We want to be led by you, Lord. We want to experience you every day of our life, including these special days when we get to gather together as community in Christ. We do believe that there is some spiritual reality because you command it, Lord. It's clear enough that all throughout Scripture, whether it was the early church, even the Old Testament believers, in Hebrews, Lord, reminding us to not forsake and not give up meeting together as some might be in the habit of doing, Lord, but when we gather together, that we may encourage one another, we may spur one another on to loving and to doing good. These are the things that you've told us in your word that's very explicit. And that whenever two or more gather in your name, Lord, you are in our midst. Lord, we want to recognize that. And we're about to just uncover your word. And we know that even though we might look at it academically, Lord, what we really need is the Spirit to reveal it to us so that we may have it impressed upon our hearts. We may have the spiritual reality of your word take place in our life. And that's what we're hungering for this morning, God. So we just lift this time to you. I want to lift myself into your hands, that you may anoint my mind and my lips, and that we all recognize that we have an anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we need that in activation this morning, God. Thank you so much. It's such precious and short time. We don't want to waste it, but we also don't want to rush through it. And so I want to slow us down before you and ask that you speak and that we would have hearts to listen. I pray for, as Abby brought up, Lord, continue prayer for Leo and his family. Not only was he able to save, the doctors were able to save his aortic valve, which is such great news. But Lord, he's got a long road of recovery ahead, and we want to lift him into your hands. I pray that between Leo and his mother Charlene and his sister Charlotte, Lord, that they would experience, Lord, the power of God in their midst. Lord, I pray that they would have their spiritual eyes open to know who Jesus is, and that they would be adopted, Lord, into the family of Christ by the precious blood of the Lamb. I want to pray for Scott's brother-in-law this morning, James, Lord, as he is now facing a recurrence of his cancer. And Lord, we ask that whatever treatment is going to take place, Lord, the doctor's recommendations, we pray for your hand in that. But Lord, I don't know where his brother-in-law is spiritually this morning. I know Scott has said that he's kind of wandered in and out of the spiritual family in the past. And I pray that you would take hold of his heart, Lord, that you would take hold of his person, and that he would know that there is a God who loves him. And so I lift him into your hands. God, it is all these different burdens and requests this morning that we want to cast upon you, cast our cares upon you, because you care for us, Lord. That's the promise of your word. So we thank you, and we give this time into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, share screen here. Feel free to look at it however you want. We're we're going through here in the second part of the Shema. And I really enjoyed, I'm not sure if you guys did, but I really enjoyed what Brother Frank shared with us last week. This is really what we're looking at, right? So, so we saw these pictures. I just took these pictures from his slides. We were looking at this section here. If you follow my mouse here, give me a thumbs up if you can see my mouse moving around. Okay, good. So we're looking in this section here last week, which is a continuation of verse 4 and 5. So I wanted to put it together here for you to see as it links together. Yeah, speak out loud if there's a question. I can't see you guys right now. But Frank would show these pictures. For instance, teach them diligently to your children. Here's someone being taught, a child being taught. Teach what? But it's teaching something diligently to your children. And you see here, as the scripture says in the Shema for the Jewish people of God, bind them as a sign on your hand. Frank talked to us about the straps that they tie that is bound with scripture on their hand. And as frontlets, where's the frontlet? Right here, right? The frontlet between your eyes, okay? Same, similar strap right there. The covering of the eyes as they memorize and recite the Shema prayer. And also, what was the name of this little item right here? Frank showed us that this was Gal Gadot, who is Wonder Woman, who is of Israeli heritage. And she has this on her door. Do you guys remember what this was called by any chance? It starts with an M.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Frank, what was that called?
Masuzah.
Masuzah. Right. And so inside of the masuzah is scripture, the Shema prayer written on parchment paper. Right. And so they were taking these things from verse 7, 8, and 9 and applying it into their life. And what I wanted to do this morning was bring us back up 30,000 foot and remind you guys that what were they putting, what are they supposed to teach diligently to their children? What are they supposed to bind as a sign on your hand, as frontlets between your eyes? What is to be written on the doorposts of the house and on the gates? It's verse 6, right? And these words, all these words that I command you today, that's a participle, right? The words that I command you today, that's a chunk of an idea right there, shall be on your what? It's going back to that concept again, on your heart. And how do you do that? You teach them, right? Diligently, your children, you talk about them, and then you bind them as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes and write them on your doorpost. So what they were doing and what Frank was leading us to last week was that all these actions and the pictures that we saw are commanded to remind them so that these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, okay? These are all the different ways in which they may be reminded of God's word that he commands, and that in order for it to be upon their heart, they should do all these things, right? And so as we keep going up the 30,000 foot view, I wanted to remind you that we're in the book of Deuteronomy, right? We've been using the word Shema quite often, and that's because of this word right here, "Hear, O Israel." Frank and I, as we prayed, knew that we wanted a deep dive on this section, and we've been doing that. But as we bring ourselves back up, we're actually in the book of Deuteronomy, and they are right here in the plains of Moab, right? Looking across the Jordan River to this whole section here, which is the promised land, right? The land of Canaan. And you could see how rich and green it was as they traveled up from, from the south, you know, from the east side of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. They came up this way, and they're right here. And I really like this old painting or this drawing of Moses sitting on some hill in the plains of Moab, looking out at what's across the Jordan. So it probably didn't look like that. The Jordan River didn't flow that way. It'd be more like, it'd be going more you know, horizontally on that picture, but he'd be looking across at that green patch. And if you can imagine the people of Israel sitting like around him or standing around him, and Deuteronomy is like the series of sermons that he's giving to them, reminding them all that, of what God has done and telling them again, that first generation that came out of Exodus, your parents, they're all dead. They all disobeyed. Only Joshua and Caleb, you know, are left of that group, and all of you next generation folk. And he's saying this, hey, next generation, hear, listen, obey the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, so on and so forth. And here's where we are at, right? So that gives you hopefully a reminder of that. I don't know. I like to share that because that helps me quite a bit. So when we think about this, what I wanted to ask you to do right now, go ahead and read this again, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've already read it, so we're not going to read it out loud. But what I wanted you to do is, now be careful here. Now, we're not just randomly highlighting anything. I'd like you to identify all of the verbs that are commands. Okay, and I want to show you that there is a pattern. Okay, so right now, go ahead and grab your annotation tool and go ahead and highlight. So for instance, I'll be blue right now. Okay, so obviously we have here is God through Moses saying, hear, O Israel. Okay. So you got to know what a verb is, right? Versus a participle. I said that this word command here is a participle. So that's so don't do that one. Where do you see the command verbs here? What's the pattern that we see? Good. Okay. We see a love. You shall love. Okay. So hear, love. Okay. You shall teach. Okay. Good. Good. Anything else? Okay, good. You shall talk. Mm-hmm. Right. You shall bind. And you shall write. Good, good, good. All right. So you guys are seeing this pattern, right? So I'm going to use my little blue here. I'll circle them for us. So no, not frontlets. We're going to have to cross that out. But you shall love. Okay. We're missing one because you shall teach them. Okay. We have, you shall love, you shall teach. We're missing one. You shall talk of them. You shall bind them. Good. You shall write them. All right. Good. And we had the participle command, but here, you today, these words, it's like saying, you shall have these words that I command on your heart, right? Okay, so we got these. All right, so as we look at this, which is kind of like the main command that seems to follow the you shall love the Lord your God command, what is a pattern that you might see here? Do you see a pattern as it expands from verse 7, right? Okay, so the words go on you, and we seem to have talked about that, right? And this is all in the context of the Shema. So we have right here, the here, and remember, Frank really hammered in, when we talked about the word hear, there is a very parallel understanding that might be different from us. When in the Hebrew, when you say hear, it very much indicated obey, right? So it's not just listening, like we often say, it goes in one ear and out of the other. No, this is saying, hey, not just listen, really listen in, really follow, really obey. And I use this word stick to the context of this very special covenant relationship. The covenant is called the Mosaic covenant because God made it through Moses to the people Israel, right? So stick to this, hear and obey this really special, special, special covenant relationship, because no one in this world has it like you do. All right. So this is a really important relationship. God is communicating with you guys. Stick to it. And you shall, this is what we did in the last few weeks, love the Lord with all your heart. And we said heart is your mind, emotions, and your will, your soul, your nefesh, your whole person. And Frank went through your me'od, which means much, right? Or very. And so Frank was saying all your muchness, all of your veriness, like everything you got, every possession you have, everything that you do, think, rise, sleep, you know, all of that, love the Lord, right? And it can be commanded then, because it's not just an emotion, it's your intelligence, it's your will, all of that's included. And as we see it continue now, and these words that I shall command to you shall be on your heart. So that is kind of like this individual, okay? Like, okay, all these words shall be in all of who you are. And then it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them, as Frank said last week, when you sit in your house. And he specifically was helping us to see that, that's kind of like the heart of the house. Right, you shall talk of it whenever you're sitting together. And when you walk, by the way, when you lie and when you rise, what is that picture right there in verse 7? Where do you remember the commands of the Lord? Right, besides as the individual now, where do you do that? What do you guys think? Okay, we talked about it last week. Is anybody here? I can't even see anybody. I'm just kind of, is anybody in class? No, no one's in class.
We're still here.
Okay, great. So where would it be then? It started from the individual. Maybe I'm not communicating very clearly. Okay, so bear with me, right? So it says, you got the individual part right here in verse 6. Verse 7 is starting to expand out. I like the concentric circle picture, right? The heart, the soul, the might. And now that's the whole person. And now it's saying, you shall teach them diligently to your children. What does that indicate? So out of yourself, it expands to, it starts with an F and ends with a Y.
Your family.
Very good. Wow. This is like children worship. Good. So you got your family, right? And now you have something different in verse 8. You bind them as a sign on your hand. Maybe you tattoo it. I don't know, right? And you shall keep it as frontlets on your eyes, keep it in between on your mind, you know, always see it. And you shall write it on your doorpost of your house. Now it's beginning to go out from the individual and the family. And now it's going out into the what?
Well, or surrounding.
Okay, a whole surrounding, which we'll call like the public sphere, right? So I like the concentric circle picture for me, because it's just, and I didn't originate that, right? I saw that on one of my commentaries. I just saw that it kind of went from the heart of a person, the most inner part of a person, to the soul, the everything in that person's life, right? And then the muchness is just all of what God has given to you, your possessions, your resources, your strength, your money, all of that. And now it keeps going out, right? It keeps going out. So love God within the whole family context by keep remembering him and remembering all the words. and then go outside of your family so that it's on your doorpost. And what I really like is that I heard a little bit of Pastor James last week, and he was already going into this week, right? He was letting the cat out of the bag. Frank's goal was to like kind of set it up for me to do that. But he was already saying that. He said the Chinese culture has something called, what's that word? I don't know the Chinese phrase, but you hang something out of your door on your doorpost. What's that called?
Chunlian.
Okay, Chunlian, right? So Chunlian.
Chunlian.
So you have Chunlian that's out there. And he said this phrase where man, he actually nailed it, because he said Chunlian, right? Chunlian is like, it's not only a reminder for you, it's a symbol for everyone who passes by to see, right? So it's a reminder for you, and then it's a symbol for the public to see who you are. And he didn't see our notes, but he nailed it on the head. Because what this is doing from a public perspective is saying, not only does it begin from you inside and you within your family, but as you put that on your doorpost, you are not only reminding yourself when you come in and out of who you are and your special relationship with God, but you're telling everyone around you, this is a symbol of who I am. This is who I'm committed to be. I'm committed to have God's words in my heart. I'm committed to stick to this special relationship, this covenant relationship that I have with my God. Okay, you guys tracking with me? Right? So he actually said that last week using that Chinese Chunlian example. And I thought that was really cool, right? Because that kind of helps us to actually see how that really reflects within the people of Israel, right? God had this intention as he was telling them these ideas, right? And these are very good spiritual practices. These are very, very good, right? To remember our covenant relationship with Yahweh. And don't forget, we have a covenant relationship with him too today, right? It's not only an individual matter, it's got to be practiced with people in your home. And then it's got to be practiced as almost like something so that it can be seen, it can be flowing out of your house into the world so that people know, right? All right. So then my question to you today is this, all right? Get in your groups real quick for about 5 minutes, and I want you to discuss this question. I was looking at my watch, and I have CJ's Yoda watch on me right now. Okay. What are some ways you or others, okay, how do I write this? What are some ways that you or others as believers try to remember your relationship and commitment with God to keep God's word? Okay. Now, you guys talked about this a little bit last week in a broader group, but I want you to talk about it yourself in a group of about 3 or 4 and for about 5 minutes and just list them out. And what we're going to do is I'm going to type it on here. I'm going to list out all that you guys come up with in your groups. What do you do? Like, for instance, someone said, I'm putting a verse up on the wall, right? I have this, like I have, like, here's one example of mine, right? Like I have this. Can you guys see me? I can't see anybody, but right. Okay. So I put this up and it sits right next to my computer. And I just wrote this down like about a week and a half ago. It's a whiteboard, right? So if there's a verse that I really want to think about, you know, then I want to put it here, right? Or like I have a reminder on my bracelet, right? You know, so it's bound on my hand, right? Can you guys read what that says? Can you guys read what it says? Can you read it?
No. Cannot see.
Okay. Something like this. God's got this?
Yes, God's got
this. Oh, really?
Right? And so that's for me, you know? Like, I have reminders around me. So get into your groups for about 5 minutes. What do you do to remind yourself of your relationship with God, keeping God's word in your heart? Like, how do you do that? All right, go ahead and break out into groups for about 5 minutes. We'll come back together. I'm going to list them out, okay? All right. All right. Can someone like Daniel, would you be able to annotate and type in text? Let's hear what some people are saying, right? Or I can do it. Let me see if I can do it. I'll use white text. All right. So, all right. Give me some examples of what you guys say. How do you remember your relationship and commitment with God to keep God's word? Shout it out. Go ahead.
We wear crosses.
Okay.
Wristbands.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Like my dad.
Uh-huh. Good. Yes.
We have a standee of the Lord's Prayer on our mantle above our fireplace.
Okay. A what of the Lord's Prayer?
A little, like a metal standee. It stands by itself on above the fireplace.
Okay. Of the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Water bottle stickers.
Okay, water bottle. Good.
Phone cases.
Okay, what? Say what?
Phone cases.
Oh, phone cases. Okay. Okay.
We're going to have a poster painting project today at church. So that's sharing God's word through art.
Is that going to be on the gates again, Janet?
Yes. We're going to take the ones that are faded.
I love that. Yes. Oh, that's so good. I was just talking about that with another brother and sister, how we are absolutely, you know, I've not seen it like this before, how we are absolutely reaching the community around us. Amen. Okay. So God's word through posters. Good. What else?
Play worship songs.
Oh, okay. Good. Mm-hmm.
I use rocks.
Praise rocks. Explain.
I have a rock.
Okay. Okay. Amen.
And I write a date on it. And I write what God promised and said that date to me.
Okay.
So I have rocks.
Okay. Do you keep them in your pocket?
If I need to, but it's usually on my desk.
Okay, so rocks in your pocket.
Different places around the house. You'll see rocks in my house.
Okay, good. CJ probably can borrow that idea because he keeps rocks in his pockets too.
It's very easy, CJ. All you need is a rock and a Sharpie.
Oh, he's got plenty of rocks.
So good. Yeah.
It's killing our laundry machine.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. What else? Anyone else who hasn't spoken yet?
Journaling.
Say that again.
Journaling.
Oh, journal. Okay, journaling. Good. Yes.
Wallpapers.
Yeah, wallpapers on what? Like 70s? Oh, okay, on a computer. Okay. I remember, I think Natalie said wallpaper on your mobile phone too, right, Natalie? Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen people making like photos of verses on like the Bible app.
Photos of verses on Bible app. Good. Yeah, for sure. Like I think I'm a friend of Bex's, and every time she makes a verse I get notified. But yeah, I don't have a verse on my phone. I only have my kids, so I'm not as godly. But does anybody have a nice phone verse wallpaper you want to show us? Like Natalie, did you have one? No? Okay. All right. Frank showed his rock. Okay. What else? I'm sorry.
Also like just talking with other believers.
Okay. 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 Good. Anything else?
I put post-it notes on like my door and my bathroom mirror, and also just random like reminders on my phone to go off during the day.
Good. So post-it notes. Yes. Yes. I said yes. Okay. Post-it notes. Right. And I didn't have any post-it notes, but I wrote it on, I have it right next to my computer. I have all these old business cards that I don't use of myself, obviously. So I write on the back of it. This is one. It's not stuck, but yes, I do that. You know, do you guys want to show some of your stuff that you do? Like, so this is like, I put this. And it's like right in front of my computer where I work, right? What else do you guys have?
Put on the...
Oh, yeah, there's Daniel's verse, okay. And Zaying said what?
notes I put on the fridge.
Oh, yes. You know, how often do we go to the fridge? Okay, see, Daniel has the Bible verse app. There you go. Good. Anything else?
Prayer.
Okay, good. Like a prayer, okay.
Just talking to God.
Okay, yeah, okay. Right? I was thinking of physical things, but that's great. Because I think a lot of people have this, right? I remember Darren, I don't know if Darren's on this call, but Darren said that he has this wall frame that says, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? From the book of Joshua, right? And you have these plaques and they're in Chinese or in wood and something like that's hung up. Okay, good. Anything else?
Ivan has the cross on his keyboard, so he's careful with what he types.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Cross on your keyboard. Yeah. To be careful with what you type. Okay, good. Anything else?
Just seeing the Bible, you know, like when you're like, let's say you walk around the house and you see the Bible, like it reminds you that it's God's
right. Word. Yeah. Seeing the Bible laying around. Good. Collecting dust sometimes, right? But it's like, hey, you know, let me blow off that dust cover, right? Okay, good. All right. So here's where we're going to go. I don't know how to delete this. Let me clear all my drawings. Okay. Okay, how do I get out of this? Here's what we do in our house. Check this out. We're hardcore spiritual. Look how spiritual Bex is, okay? She has this great, this is her little sitting area. And she has like this plaque that says, I am a child of God. Be thankful. She has a verse in Psalm 133. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I love that verse when I first saw her write that up, right? And we have a song that we sing. Not that we made up, but she also has this, right? This is downstairs, right outside, you know, in our great room area. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Encourage each other daily. And right when you walk into our house, we have a couple of frames, right? That just right when you walk in the house, right? And then it's passed on now. This spiritual heritage has been passed on to my daughters, right? Not CJ yet. Oh yeah, he has a bracelet. But, you know, this is Bethany's work desk. She painted this. So this is like Bethany's painting. He must become greater. I must become less. And then Abby in her room right next to her bed has a frame that's made by Clara Fan, who, you know, this is her painting, her verse next to her bed that says, be still and know that I'm God, right? This is great. I mean, I love this stuff. This is kind of like the frontlets. This is like the armbands. This is the walking with your children, talking. It's in the family. We're doing all this stuff. But let me ask you guys a question. These are great reminders, but what inevitably happens, or, okay, I mistyped that. What happens inevitably happens over time. What happens when you pass by that plaque that says, love one another as I have loved you, or he must become greater, I must become less, or you have this cross on your keyboard that reminds you to not type in bad things. What happens after you pass by it or you look at it 200 times? What happens?
You kind of become desensitized sometimes, maybe.
Right. I mean, you put it there to maybe help you, right? You put it on, you put the cross on your keyboard. That's only the freshest one I thought of, right? But you put the bracelet on. I have a bracelet on my hand. I'm not always reading what that says. I forget that it's on me, right? If I had a tattoo, which, that had a verse, right? And it's very trendy today, have like Hebrew verses, you know, on your arm, right? I'll be the pastor with like verses tattooed all over my arm. After half a year, do you think I'm reading those verses? Do you think that Bethany, every time she sits down at her desk, I mean, she might be a very godly child and I give her the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not sure if she sits down and goes, God, you must be greater. I must become less. After the 100th time that she sat at her desk and that painting's been there, right? I've passed by this death and life are in the power of the tongue, you know, 40 times a day. And I've said things to my children, probably standing in front of that sign, that may not have brought life to them. I'm not sure if anybody appreciates that, but that's definitely me. Okay. And it says, encourage one another, another daily. I've stood right in front of that chalkboard thing that I made. And I know that I've said discouraging things to my children. Right. It doesn't sound like me, right? Oh my gosh. Like if you only put a little spy cam in my house and you're like, oh, no way, this is how he lives. He's such a hypocrite. Right. But look at this. I wanted to remind you that when we're talking about this whole thing, it's all in the context of this special covenant relationship that God made with him. God is using Moses to tell them, you're about to go into the promised land that I committed to give you. I, God, committed to give you this abundant life. And under this covenant, though, it's like I'm giving you these commands that shall be on your heart. And this command is called the law. And he said, I want my law to be on your heart. I want you to remember my law. I want you to talk about my law with your children. When you rise, when you sleep, on your doorpost, in the public, in your family, as an individual, that's how you love me. And when you love me, when you follow my law, man, all the blessings are going to be more poured out upon you in abundance. But when you don't, because this is the covenant, when you don't, it's conditional. If you do not remember my law, curses are going to be upon you. Remember, this is their special covenant relationship. And I don't know about you, but if we have all these verses all over the place and we feel, man, after like a few times, I don't remember that thing on my doorpost. I just go in and out of the house. I'm not like going, oh yeah, God's word is in that little wooden little thingamabob, right? I'm not thinking about that. When I pass by the death and life are in the power of the tongue, like, do you think they're any different from us where they go, oh yes, God's word is right here. It's on my cell phone that they have. And they're like, yes, I need to honor God, keep his law, because I got to stick to this special covenant relationship. No, they did not. And they could not. This covenant was so limited. And it was not only limited, it's what we call the old covenant. It's what we call the old covenant. Because it was limited. Did they love the law? Yes, they loved the law. David said, I delight in the law of the Lord. The law for them was a reminder that God gave them this covenant and they wanted to stick to this special covenant relationship. But over and over and over, what we saw in Old Testament is that they could not keep up with it. They could not. In fact, the law was damning them. Right? Every time they forgot all these things and it was tied around their arms, it was put on their head, they were putting it on doorposts, it was all around them. They could not keep it. And so it's almost as if this covenant, this promised relationship with God was so limited and there had to be something better. And so by the time we get to Jeremiah, I'd like someone to read this for us. And I'm going to wrap up. Don't worry. Just give me like 7 more minutes. I spent too much time in the sharing. Anyone? Bueller?
Behold, these days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write on I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Amen. You see that? These Israelites who were under this old but very special covenant relationship, they needed something better. They knew they needed something better. And by the time of Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord let it spill out. There are going to be some days that will come when I will make a new covenant with my people. It's not like the old covenant. It's new. And this covenant that I make with them, I will put my law, right? All those commands, I'm going to write it on where again? Where are we supposed to keep them? He says, I'm going to write it on their hearts, their whole being. And no longer shall each of them have to teach each other, right? Because by this time, it was only the higher ups that knew the word. It was only the upper echelon that had access to the real truths of God. In those days, the poor people, the low class, they were victimized. They were not taught faithfully. They didn't know the things that could change their lives. And the Lord said, no. See, there's going to come a day when everyone who is my people will have the law on their heart. I'm going to put it on them. I'm going to write it on their heart. And so we see that in the old, everything was external. The law was written on stone. All the law was remembered outside of their bodies. It was almost as if they began to make everything external was trying to do something to remind them internally. It was like, let me put more activities. Let me put more law. Let me make more things about the law around my life so that it can maybe affect me inside. But God was saying, it doesn't work that way. I need to give you something new. He was promising a day when he says, I'm going to write it on your hearts and minds. And we see this in Hebrews. But as it is, so there's a New Testament now, but as it is, Christ, as the high priest, has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates, he promises, is better, since it's enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the old covenant, had been faultless, like it's been all right, there would be no occasion to look for a new one. And then he quotes Deuteronomy, or Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming when I will establish a new covenant. Right? You see that? Isn't that cool? But check this out. Because what was happening with them was that the more they tried to externalize and obey that law, they not only didn't always have the desire to do so or remember everything that's around them, they didn't even have the power to do so. You know, sometimes even if I see that sign that says death and life are in the power of the tongue, I sometimes I can't even manufacture the ability to encourage my children because my flesh is unable. Right? And yet, right, in the book of 1 John, he says, as for you now, Christians, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. This is not to say that there's not teachers and preachers or Sunday school, but as his anointing teaches you, that's the Holy Spirit teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. The Spirit now we begin to see is our anointing. Okay. This is what was promised in Ezekiel Moreover, right? This is after Jeremiah. Moreover, one day I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's my law. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You see, in the old, the believers had pledged their obedience. We talked about that, right? Their pledge of allegiance. They pledged, they said, because after Moses said all the sermons, they were like, yes, we're going to cross this Jordan River. Yes, we pledge our allegiance to God. We're going to obey all these things. We're going to have all these things plastered around, because they didn't start that, Frank said, until even later. It's not like they started doing these doorpost things until way later. They started to try to keep reminding them of God's law, but they never had the internal power to live up to this pledge. And yet in the new covenant, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are anointed, it says. That's what it says in 1 John. We are anointed with God himself. So now God himself dwelling in us abides in us. He teaches us. He not only does that, he empowers us. All right? You guys see that? So is it okay to have these symbols, these verses? Is it okay for me to have this and this in my office? Is it okay for me to have this bracelet? Absolutely, because there are times when I need these reminders. Could I put a cross on my keyboard to remind me to not type in any bad thing to search for? Absolutely. But if I try to just do that based on my fleshly ability, after a while, I'm going to ignore that cross on my keyboard. After a while, I'm not going to see these verses. After a while, I can't remember how I need to follow God. But I have something better than just physical reminders. I have God himself now who has anointed me. I have God now who dwells in my life because of faith in Christ. Actually, technically, before faith in Christ, right? He's allowed me to see the truths of God, right? He's the one who can prompt me. He's the one when I'm about to type something in on my keyboard, it's not the cross that I see necessarily, but it's his prompting inside of me saying, that's not the thing. That's not where I want you to go. I have so much better for you, right? This verse right here, walk by the Spirit, reminds me so that when I preach, I can preach by the Spirit. And I don't need this paper to remind me. I don't need a little a sticker on my Bible to remind me to preach on the Spirit that day. It's the Holy Spirit right before I go up or when I pray. If I allow that moment to enter and let the Spirit work, it's a Spirit reminding me, don't preach today in your own strength. Preach in the power of my Spirit. You guys with me? Because under our new covenant, our special covenant relationship with God, God says, I've given you the best now. You guys with me? You guys track with me, right? That doesn't mean that we don't mess up. But that's, I think, what it means when the scripture says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't be controlled by the things of the flesh or the world, but be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Right? You guys with me? That's what helps us. All right. You guys tracking with that? I can't see you guys' faces. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So last week, right, Frank, that was a setup for today. And today's when we end the Shema. Next week, we're going to keep going on this idea, but we're going to look because the Holy Spirit, the whole new covenant comes only because of Christ. Everything that Christ did on the cross, that's what it says in 1 Corinthians that we're preaching through. Everything comes down to Jesus and the cross. Everything we have today came because Jesus put himself on the cross. And we have the Holy Spirit today because Jesus put himself on the cross. And the Spirit's job is not to put a spotlight on himself, right? The Holy Spirit's job is to say, look at Christ. Look at Christ. look at what he has done. The cross is the pipeline of all of God's blessings to you, right? And we have that today, right? It's the Spirit that says, look at what Christ did to fulfill the law for you. The Spirit says, you have the law now written in your heart, but you can't even still fulfill it. Christ fulfilled it for you. Amen? You guys with me? That's a big amen. I don't even hear any amens.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we can look back and say, oh man, if we were in those days, that would be rough days for us. But we're under the new. What a blessing that is for us. Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
And all these symbols, all the frontlets, all the straps, which we still have in a sense today, everyone who has tattoos of verses that are trying to remember God, we cannot do it unless the Holy Spirit abides with us. And unless the Holy Spirit is helping us abide in Christ. That's what Holy Spirit does. He's like, you abide with Christ and let Christ abide with you, right? When you do that, you're going to fulfill all that I have planned for you. And when you live that way, the way I planned for you, your life is so abundant. It's so good. It's so free, right? So I want to say amen this morning because Jesus Christ gave us the new covenant. Mm. Yeah, do you guys amen with me?
Amen.
All right. Now, I wish I had more time. I started too slow this morning. My motor wasn't running well. The Spirit wasn't like, you know, pumping me up in that way yet. So my last thing would be, if you had time, reflect on this. What is one thing from the last 2 weeks, from the symbols of the Shema all the way? See, the Shema, they couldn't even keep the Shema. But all that was pointing to the way that we can today fulfill the Shema. And even the Jews, if they have Christ and the Spirit, they can fulfill the Shema. And there's so many sites I bet Frank goes to and I go to look at the study of the Shema. These are like, a lot of them are Jewish Christians. They're Messianic Jews who have such a rich understanding of now as a Messianic Gentile. A Gentile who follows the Messiah, right? Oh man, how abundant it is, because now I have Christ and the Spirit of God to empower me to fulfill and live out the Shema in my life. Yeah. We are able to love God that way. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let me pray for us. It'll be real quick. And then I'll let you guys go. Father, just, come before you, and my head is bowed in reverence and in adoration, Lord. You, when we teach of things like this, how can we not bow before you? How can we not want to give you our worship? And it doesn't matter how the music sounds. It doesn't matter how the live stream may get laggy, Lord. Everything within us, when we think about your word like this, should just well up inside with gratitude and praise, and to say, holy is the name of the Lord. Praise be to the holy name of the Lord. Everything within us just say, thank you, God, so much for Christ. Thank you for the new life you've given to us. Thank you for allowing your Spirit to dwell within us. Thank you that every time we fall so shortly, every time we sin, every time we mess up so badly, Lord, you have already fulfilled all that needs to be fulfilled, not only by your life fulfilling the law, but by your death, taking the punishment that should have been upon us. Lord, who would be deserving of such love? And the only reason why we are able to love you is because you first loved us. Thank you so much, God. Fill us this morning. Let your Spirit fill us with all of that so that we're not so concerned about what we get out of the worship service. But Lord, what's preoccupying our minds is what we give to you today. Praise be to your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.